My bath went some way toward thawing me out, but did nothing to soothe the ache behind my eyes. I gave up all thoughts of working for the rest of the afternoon and crept into bed, pulling the extra covers well up over my ears. Inside, I was still shivering. I awoke with a headache, aches in my limbs and my joints and my back. A tiredness that had nothing to do with exertion or lack of sleep weighed me down and slowed my thoughts. The darkness had thickened. Had I slept through the hour of my appointment with Aurelius? The thought nagged at me, but only very distantly, and long minutes passed before I could rouse myself to look at my watch. For during my sleep, an obscure sentiment had formed within me. Trepidation? Nostalgia? Excitement? And it had given rise to a sense of expectation. The past was returning. My sister was near. There was no doubting it. I couldn't see her, couldn't smell her, but my inner ear, attuned always and only to her, had caught her vibration, and it filled me with a dark and soporific joy. There was no need to put off Aurelius. My sister would find me wherever I was. Bundled up like a child on firework night, I opened the kitchen door and slipped into the garden. No light from the house, no stars. I reached the meeting point. The darkness stirred itself. It was him. He was there. My hand bumped clumsily against him, then felt itself clasped. "Are you all right?" I heard the question, but distantly, through the white sound of her, half painful, half euphoric. Aurelius let go of my hand to remove a glove, and I felt his palm, strangely cool in the hot night, on my forehead. "You should be in bed," he said. I pulled at Aurelius's sleeve, a feeble tug, but enough. He followed me through the garden as smoothly as a statue on casters. My memory of what happened in Emmeline's quarters that night is fragmented. By a process of logic and reason, I have attempted to place into a meaningful sequence images that my mind recorded only incompletely and in random fashion, like events in a dream.